So, here we are, coming to the end of Lent. Passion Sunday's next week. You've heard such wonderful readings. You know, have you grown closer to Christ during this time? For that is what this is about. What our lives could be oriented or should be oriented to is about focusing on Jesus' presence and the joy from him in our life. You know, but what if we're not there? What if this particular Lent or where we are in our life is not joyful? We're not feeling the presence of God. What if we're struggling this Lent? What does that mean for us? You know, with all the readings, the wonderful readings, and all the activities that the church provides, maybe we're still not feeling it. You know, I believe Lent can highlight the perceived distance between God and us, simply because we hear about all these glorious works Jesus does and the love of God, and we're just not in the right space to receive it. Well, today, I ask you to open up your heart and open up your mind and listen to the gospel once again. Reflect on the gospel once again with open eyes, open ears, and open heart. And be reminded that today, you know, just today we also had people who were struggling with their faith. You know, they're on display, Mary, Martha, the Jews, you know, and it was those people that Jesus witnessed to demonstrate his power and his love. So perhaps for those of us who haven't had a good Lent, you know, can see the light, you know, and are now at our point in their journey where they can hear Jesus' message. They can open up their eyes, you know, like the blind man's eyes were opened up. And maybe now is the time for us to be present and to be in love with Jesus Christ. Because remember, at the heart of Jesus' message is the joy of salvation brought about by his incarnation into our world. And maybe now we can think about that line from John 3:16, you know, where we're reminded, God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. You know, are you ready now to hear that message? So in today's gospel, we see the kind of God we are in relationship with. But at first, he seems to be a little cavalier, you know, a little not caring about his friend's illness. For Jesus does not physically join them right away. When he first hears about Lazarus' illness, he tells us, and this should be a clue, this illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. But he waits. Why? You know, it seems a little cruel in a way to let your friend die to prove a point. I mean, how can a man who we will see cry for Lazarus later leave him to rot in a tomb for 4 days? I'm sure some of us can ask that same question. Why are we in this tomb? Why are we rotting in this tomb? Why doesn't God hear us? And keep in mind Jesus' words and the words in John 3:16. Jesus has a purpose in his actions. And we don't always see the purpose and the glory through all our pain, but it is there. And we hear this in Mary and Martha's words. You know, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know, and Martha adds, but I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. You know, doesn't she express our faith? Doesn't she also express our pain and disappointment when God doesn't fix something in our world that we know he could if he wanted to? You know, so here we are in this moment of time that maybe all of us can relate to. You know, those moments of doubt and pain that all of us experience from time to time. And what does Jesus tell Martha? in her pain and her fear and doubt, and also in her faith, your brother will rise. Your brother will rise. Just like I think he's telling us that we will rise from wherever we are. Now, Martha's confused about the timing of this because she thinks he's talking about the resurrection on the last day. So he clarifies, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asks her, do you believe this? She answers, yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. What is our answer? And then what happens? As if to reward her faith, Jesus, risking his own life by going back to Judea, finds out where Lazarus is and he goes there. And he tells them to take away the stone. And after being reminded of the stench, he reassures them with these words, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? You know, how bad the stench, you will see the glory of God. So they roll away the stone. Jesus prays to God. He calls out Lazarus, and out Lazarus comes. Out Lazarus comes. Called by Jesus, Lazarus comes out of his tomb, and he's untied. You know, one of the most tender parts of the story is the line, and Jesus wept. Think about that. God cries with us. He understands the depths of our pain, the pain of the loss of a loved one. For the one he loved was dead. His friend, Mary of Bethany's brother. This Mary, who anointed our Lord at Bethany with her hair. This Martha, who waited on the Lord. They're all friends of his. Think about the relationships at play here. The depth of the emotion, the humanity. And Jesus was there in their pain. Now, why does he weep? You know, maybe it's because of all the emotions and everything that are going on there, you know, because most of us would cry at the death of our friend, you know, or the loss of a loved one. But perhaps Jesus cries because he sees the power of death has over the people he loves and their lack of faith in him. He tells us, I am the resurrection and the life. At his resurrection, he will live out these words and overcome death. And we have to ask ourselves, do we believe as Martha did? Do we believe what Jesus says, that even if you die physically, you will never die and live on? Or is it just something we say in the creed? Think about that for a second. Or maybe for your whole life. You know, what would our life look like if we acted like we will never die? That the end of our life here on earth is not the end of the story. Think about how that might orient our whole being. Today, let's reflect on how our lives might have been or can be if we act as if we believe Jesus' words. I mean, aren't all the fears that we have really the fear of some kind of death? You know, of our own death, of someone else's death, death of a cherished relationship, losing some money, you know, or possessions, or the fear of not getting some material possession we really want? And Jesus reminds us to not fear in Matthew 10:28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. He's telling us, worry about those things that can kill your soul, not necessarily the things that can kill your life. And aren't most of our fears soul killers? Don't they rob us? Don't they take us out of the moment? For most of our fears are about the past or the future and not about this particular moment. For we are in church today, in the presence of Jesus Christ. We have nothing to fear. So right here, right now, and even in the hereafter, Jesus is telling us, don't fear the future, don't fear death. You know, and could it be that he cried because he was watching all the joy he was capable of bringing, being missed by the very people who knew him best? Because it's joy that Christ brings us. The joy that we are so loved by God, that God sent his only Son into the world to show us how to live. The joy that comes from the knowledge that he gave his life for us. He showed us how to surrender to pain and suffering and know that that suffering can redeem us. So I hope we can be ready today to be called out by Jesus from our own personal tombs, from our own soul killers, into the light and living water of Jesus Christ.